And I did pull an audible in preaching Ephesians 1, 11 through 23 this morning. And I know we've looked at this together before, but you have some sermon notes this morning with you. So you'll be able to remember that when you get home. So again, next week, you'll be able to say, I know what Pastor Blue talked about. And then if I say it again, you'll be able to remind me that I'm repeating myself. So no one can fall asleep this morning because you got fill in the blanks you got to put in. So basically, our sermon is disciples affirm resurrection hope out of Ephesians 1, 11 through 23. And again, it's All Saints Sunday. So when you think of the saints, what do you think of? The saints. Anybody?
I think of my father.
Your father. Yep. Anyone else? Junor. She's still among us, so I better be careful. Yeah, think of my wife's grandmother, Mickey. She was a dear soul, taken too soon. So lots of saints. And of course, you know, it's kind of a joke, but I think of the New Orleans Saints, but we're not here to talk about them. America's football team. Rub it in. No, but I mean, what else do we think about?
Christmas Eve.
Yeah. On my soul this morning are all the 12 disciples of Jesus, right? You go ever visit me in my office upstairs? I know Protestants sometimes have a weird feeling about that, but I have some Greek icons of different saints of the early church. And of course, the middle large one I have up there is Saint Nicholas, which we'll be celebrating Christmas here soon. So I think of all of these mothers and fathers of the early church. Yes. Absolutely. Martin Luther said we're saints and sinners at the same time. So the cue is, good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Someone in the back I saw. Yes, those that are living with the Lord that have passed away. It's not just those that, you know, the Pope says are saints, right? It's his whole church. His whole church. The saints of God's church here on earth. But of course, we think about, I think, the folks of the New Testament, like St. Paul and John the Baptist. And I mean, he was kind of a weird guy, right? John the Baptist, eating bugs and all that. But he was a saint of the church. And so the fill in the blank here is All Saints Sunday, we celebrate those who have impacted the church with the gospel of Christ, who have made Christ known to everyone across the world. If it wasn't for the saints of the church, friends, we wouldn't be here this morning. People sacrificed their life, their livelihood, you name it, in order for Jesus to be spread. They took the Great Commission seriously in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of the present age. They took this scripture seriously. They took the idea that they are to be responsible for the lost souls within their community, within their context, those that did not know Jesus, because we are all lost sinners without Christ. There are so many today, the theology of that is being preached in pulpits across America is that when I'm a believer in Jesus, I become perfected. I shouldn't be sinning in a way that a non-Christian should. Now I get it. We do better. We strive to do better. But friends, we are going to continue to sin. We're going to continue to mess up. But even these early saints, the saints that made the faith what it is today, had sin in their life at some point, right? And they came to Jesus. They knew Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. They knew that it was his blood and his blood alone that gave them an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Which brings us to our first point this morning. We have received an inheritance in Christ. Verses 11 through 14. And we have also received an inheritance in Christ. We have been destined by the plan of God, who accomplishes everything according to his design. And we are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were first to hope in Christ. You too have heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit because you believed in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is a down payment on your inheritance, which is applied towards our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. So we are told, this is the fill in the blank, that we have received an inheritance in Christ and that we have been sealed because we have believed in Christ. So again, Christianity is not a passive thing. You don't become a Christian because you sit in a church pew, right? Or I sit in this chair. I'm sure there's a nice name for it, right? I don't become a Christian by my location. I become a Christian by my active involvement, my active decision to acknowledge what Jesus did on the cross, that he rose from the dead, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, all for us. Right? There was no selfish desire. Jesus could have walked away from it all, but he said, not my will, but yours. And we are told through the gospel that only through Jesus do we inherit eternal life. Again, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes through the Father except through me. There is no other way. We are an exclusive faith. We are. We don't believe that there's 20 pathways to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it tells us, according to Revelations 20:20, that when we accept or acknowledge Jesus, there's a wordplay there, acknowledge Jesus, that we are put into the book of life. And what does it say? It says that no one can separate us from the love of God. It would take a lot for any of us this morning, once you believe in Jesus, to deny Jesus. To deny Jesus. Now, can we? Yes, we can choose to. We can walk away from the faith. And I've seen it. But it's very difficult. Right? Because at the moment of our baptism, and I don't want to skip ahead. The moment of our baptism, we are welcomed into God's holy family. And we hopefully, moms and dads, will disciple their children in the faith. And even if they walk away from the church and Jesus, frankly, for a little while, the prayer is one day they will return. And usually, I've seen this, when they start having children, right? Your grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren for some of you. They say, you know, this whole church thing, this Christianity thing, I need it back in my life. I need to have faith. And we can have those open and engaging conversations. So I told some of you, I've been all over. So one of the churches we served was John Calvin Presbyterian Church. Now, do you guys know who John Calvin is? Look, we got somebody. I know Thelma, you know who he is, right? Okay. So John Calvin was another reformer, and Luther and Calvin did not agree on everything, right? So Calvin said this, basically, that think of God as the puppeteer, and we are the puppets, right? And he pulls the strings, and we move. That's what he said. And it was a really good time, because we went to work at this church. It was our first year of marriage, and we were going to the Baptist seminary together. And she was the children's minister, and I was the youth pastor. And Amanda had a lot more work than I did, I have to admit. Her job was really hard. She organized all the type events like the trunk retreats and stuff all the time. But I remember having a conversation. The pastor was Harry Brown, and he's a good guy. And he explained baptism in this way to me. It's an outward sign of the seal God has made, a seal of the new and everlasting covenant. That baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. It's that sign and seal. Sign and seal. Through the water, that is his sign to us. A physical thing right here. And he's sealing that child or that adult through baptism, thus giving them the inheritance. But at some point, they got to make a decision for themselves. Do they trust in the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? Do they love their neighbor as yourself? I mean, we got to remember that second part. Jesus told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. We have to do that. We got to be nice to each other. So I'll give you Luther's statement here. And I think it's important. I think we should know where we come from as a church. We still got our five solas up for Reformation Sunday. And he said this: God have given you baptism as a gift for the forgiveness of sins. A gift for the forgiveness of sins. And preach to you unseasonably by the word of mouth concerning this treasure. The word, right? That's why I'm here this morning, to preach the word. And sealing it with the sacrament of my body and my blood, the Holy Communion, which we will also receive, so that you need never doubt. True, it seems little and insignificant that by the washing of water, the word, and the sacrament of his body and blood, this should all be affected. But don't let your eyes deceive you. So raise your hand this morning. I'm curious. You don't have to if you feel embarrassed. Raise your hand this morning if you have a tattoo. Man, I don't have one yet. All right, all these people got tattoos. All right, so think about this. The Lord our God gives us a tattoo to mark us for his inheritance. And it's always interesting. I notice that about people. If I see tattoos and jewelry and things, I'm like, why does that person have that tattoo right here or there? And it says in Revelation that what? That Jesus had a tattoo mark on his inner thigh. That's what it says. So Jesus has a tattoo in Revelation. Just read it. So don't feel bad if you have one. We are in the new covenant, not the old covenant. The old covenant says we can't. The new covenant says we can. But we have an inheritance. An inheritance. We have been marked by God, our Father, through our baptism. And later today, we will, at 11 o'clock, you'll see in your bulletin, there's two names there for two more children that are going to be baptized in the life of the church, right? Two more. And it's Barbara Sullivan. I don't think she's here. She'll be here at next service. Thank you. Barbara Sullivan's grandchildren will be baptized. So, and then we have another one coming up. So we got three in the works. And my goal is, I've already put a reminder on my calendar. Baptism of the Lord Sunday is January 9th. And on that Sunday, like we did for All Saints, we're going to recognize those that have been baptized in the last year or so since I've been here. And you will meet the new dean January 9th, Steve Shipman, because he's going to be preaching that day in church. So, but I'll still be here. But we as believers of Jesus have this mark. Next, we have received spirit of wisdom and revelation in verse 15 through 19. And since I have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is Don't stop giving thanks to God, for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray with the eyes of your heart, you will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the riches of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. In this verse, we have one takeaway, that we are unworthy on our own to know Christ or to accept Christ. It's only possible through God's love given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit to know God. So again, we are sinners. We are separated from God, right? So when does this first happen? Who can tell me this morning? In the Bible, when do we first get separated from God? Adam and Eve. I'm just keeping sure you're awake. Adam and Eve. I know you know the answer to that. We are separated when we choose, when the first human beings chose to eat of that fruit of good and evil, right? But it is only through the Holy Spirit that we can come to know God. We can't do it on our own. Our sin is there from the moment of our birth. And again, some would call this prevenient grace. Some would call this, you know, the Word of God. But regardless, I believe it's just God's Holy Spirit at work in our lives. That God is powerful. And what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers? The power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. That when we believe in Christ Jesus in our lives, the Holy Spirit is gifted to us believers. Now, I know many of us, I don't know about you when you were growing up, but we didn't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit at all, really. It was almost like mainline Christians were afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, that's like for Pentecostal types that speak in tongues. Right? And again, it wasn't until I met charismatic Catholics I first understood the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And that happened to be, again, my wife's family. But when we are believers in Jesus, we are given the gift of the Spirit. And doesn't necessarily mean you're going to speak in tongues, friends. Now, some of you may speak in tongues. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says, well, if there's someone speaking in tongues, there should be an interpreter. There should be somebody that understands what they're saying. It may mean that you speak a different language you don't know. It may mean that, I don't know, God will use you for his glory in a time and a place that is special. He will give you opportunities to do ministry among people that you would have never expected. So I'll quote for you, since the Apostle Paul says this better than I do, in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, he talks about what the Holy Spirit can do. And he says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And he distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through a spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, powers, another prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, and another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. So I just want to recap here. So we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit through our acknowledgement of Jesus. And then we are marked in his inheritance, and we are given a gift. a spiritual gift, all of us. So when we think about the whole church commitment piece, I'm going to give my time, my talents, my treasure. Well, your talents are really God's talents, right? It's God's gift to you. And we are to first give that back to God with our whole heart. Our whole heart. So we are under, lastly, his power and authority, verses 20 to 23. And God's power was at work in Christ. And when God raised him from the dead and set him at God's right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power, angelic power, power that might be named not only now but in the future. And God put everything under Christ's feet and made him the head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ who fulfills everything in every way. Again, we must recognize our inheritance, that we have received the gifting of the Holy Spirit, and that we are under the power and authority of Jesus. We talked about this about 4 years ago. So let's have an open forum right now. What does it mean? What does it mean to be under the authority of God? Jesus as our Lord. How is Jesus our Lord? Who knows? I see some people falling asleep on me. Jesus is our Lord. What does that mean? He's in control. Amen. Following his rules. Everything we have is his. Amen. Showing his love. First in our life. Yes, surrendering. Absolutely. So when we talked about this, when someone is a lord of you, they have ultimate authority, right? They have the ultimate authority. And I see that I'm over my time here, so I'm gonna continue. I get ahead of my time, ahead of myself. I'm sorry, guys. So again, Jesus is the Lord of our life. It means that no government, institution, job, any of it is Lord first. It means that the Lord God tells you to share faith with someone that will cost you everything, then it means it costs you everything. I understand that's hard, but it's the reality, right? And when we look at All Saints Sunday, we look at the saints of the early church and all that they did for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. All they did to bring forward his church, it meant that they were servants of Jesus. And they were willing to say, yes, Lord, no matter what, recognizing his authority over our lives. So the question is here. Are you putting anything before the authority of God in your lives? Are you understanding the Great Commission to go, therefore, and make disciples of Jesus Christ, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Are you allowing anything else to be Lord over you? So you are a child of God, my friends. You have been given permission and authority by your holy inheritance being grafted into God's family. The Holy Spirit prepares us and equips us to serve him. And he reminds us again of this authority. So let us be like the saints of the church. And I am sure I asked you online, and if anybody has not seen my post yet, there's a post on our church page of all these early saints of our church, the church of First Lutheran as well, all those 26 names here that passed. And I want to have a living testimony of who they are. So if you see a picture on there and you have a story of their faith and how they impacted you, please comment on their picture and share. Because I want to remember them for the next 100 years, right? These are the saints of Lutheran. These are the saints of God's holy church. We have stories of all these saints on my stole this morning, right? And I want to eventually create some type of book with pictures and stories of people from First. I think that would be absolutely beautiful. And it will help us remember how we got our through faithful Christians who testified about Jesus to us. And when you have people that don't know him, I want you to remember the 26 names here this morning that can serve as a witness of the faith to the next generation. Let the glory be to God. Amen. God, we thank you and praise you for allowing us to have an inheritance in you. God, for forgiving our sins, to God being crucified on a cross and using the saints of the church, the people that have gone before us, to be living testimonies. So God, help each of us this morning be a testimony to the next generation of people that need to know you. God, to the several babies that have been baptized here at First Lutheran, help us be a witness to them and raise them up in the faith so they too one day can be a saint of the church. God, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.